Okay, so welcome back. Let's see, I'm going to begin today by announcing that we are, not exactly returning, but we're going to transition to face-to-face lectures on Monday. University gave us 2 weeks to get through the pandemic, and now we're back to our regularly scheduled lecture, which is a face-to-face, so an in-person lecture for the 9:30 section of linear algebra. We're to meet Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:30 to 10:20. But here's the difference. Instead of linking up on Zoom, you're to attend class at 312 in the North Classroom Building. So that will begin on Monday. Any questions on that? Okay, now, of course, according to university policy, if we have COVID cases arise in the class at once we've met, then we'll probably transition back to online only. But until then, until that happens, we're to actually conduct our face-to-face lectures again. Okay, so, let's see. So today we're going to talk more about matrices. On Wednesday, I introduced matrices as a way of encapsulating the data that goes into specifying a large system of linear equations. What happened then, if we start off with, say, a system of n equations in m unknown, so here's maybe the first equation, v1, and a series of equations, maybe the nth equation is an1 x1 plus dot 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 plus an m times the nth variable is equal to the nth number. This system of equations could be written in matrix form as a11 to a1m, an1 to anm, times column vector variables times, equals another column vector. And what I've been explaining, I started on Wednesday, was how to interpret the left-hand side here as a product of one matrix times a column vector. So that's where we're going to begin today. Describing more explicitly this matrix multiplication, and we'll do lots of computation so you see how this is carried out. So let me just remind you, these rectangular arrays of numbers are called matrices. And we've developed a notation for those. This is how we treat a generic n by m matrix, a matrix with n rows and m columns. So what we do is we take a bunch of letters with subscripts and put them in a box, but in a special way. We have a total of m columns, that's the second number here, and a total of n rows. And so this matrix is a rectangular arrangement of a total of n times m real numbers into n rows and n columns. And notice that these, in this generic notation for a matrix, that I'm always using the first subscript, the first index, to indicate which row an entry lives in. See, everything in the first row is a subscript one. When the second index is used to indicate which column it lives in. Those are sort of like when you're graphing things. First component is a horizontal component, second component is a vertical component. Same idea, but it's in a convention that we keep throughout. All right. And then what we began to discuss on Wednesday was how to multiply these objects together. So in order for a matrix multiplication to be defined, the crucial thing is that the first factor, A, has to have the same number of columns as the second factor, B, has rows. But so long as that is true, what's going to happen is you can define a product, wherein the product of a n by m matrix A and an m by p matrix B. So n has n rows and m columns. The second factor has m rows and p columns. In this situation, the product is defined. Sorry? Is there a question? Okay, so in this product, the way we compute it is we interpret a row as an ordered list of numbers, so as a vector. And we can also interpret a column as an ordered list of numbers, read from top to bottom. And so we can think of both the rows of A and the columns of B as being vectors. And in fact, since they have the same number of entries, they're going to be vectors of the same dimension. So we can take their dot product, and that's exactly what we do. All right, and then that dot product will get a certain dot product, one for each row of A and one for each column of B. You can pair them up this way and compute those numbers. On the other hand, if the second matrix B doesn't have the same number of rows as the number of columns of the first factor, then that would, we try the same formula, that would mean trying to take a row vector of one dimension and taking its dot product with a vector of a different dimension, and that's undefined. And so for this matrix product to actually work, it's essential that the number of columns in the first factor equals the number of rows of the second factor. That's just so these dot products are defined. But once they're defined, they're computable. Now, a thing to point out also here is that coming from this rule, we get another rule. And this line here, what I'm describing are the dimensions of the matrix, n rows and n columns, that's the dimensions of the first factor, times a matrix with m rows and p columns. What's that going to produce is a matrix with n rows and p columns. Why? Because we look at these entries that we can compute. What are our choices for this index I? Well, it's got to be a row of the first matrix A and A has exactly n rows. So this index I, we have exactly n choices. And similarly, for this index J, well, that J refers to a column of the matrix B. B has exactly P columns. So we'll have P choices for J. And so what I get is a bunch of numbers, A, B subscript IJ, for which we have N choices for I, P choices for J. So we'll get arrange those into an N by P matrix. And that's exactly what the product of the matrix A and B is going to be. All right, so let's do some explicit computations now. The first example is kind of a non-example. I've gotten a 1x3 matrix written adjacent to a matrix with 3 rows and 2 columns. But this matrix, as a thought of as product, is undefined. Let me show you why. Here we have a matrix with 3 rows and 1 column, so a 3x1 matrix. It's trying to multiply a matrix with 3 rows and 2 columns, so a 3x2 matrix. But notice this mismatch on these inner dimensions. You need to have this match and so that the dot products that define the matrix product are defined. So because we have this mismatch, that's why we have an undefined matrix product. It's not computable, and it makes no sense mathematically to consider it. But that does not mean that matrix multiplications are always undefined. We just need to get this a proper match between the number of rows of the first factor and the number of columns of the second factor. Okay, so let me do another example where we are multiplying a vector by a matrix. All right, so here the point is that if we think of a vector as simply an ordered list of numbers, then there are two ways of interpreting this ordered list of numbers as a matrix. Right? I can either take the components of this vector, keep them in order, but write them in a vertical fashion. So now I read from top to bottom to identify the order of these numbers. Or I can arrange these numbers in a I shouldn't have put commas here, just as a horizontal list, and that would be a 1x n matrix. So in fact, there's two different ways of taking an ordered list of numbers and converting it into a matrix. For the most part, we're going to stick to the first convention. If we have an ordered list of numbers, we're going to write it as a column vector, as an n x 1 matrix. All right, so we can have two different ways of computing vectors into matrices. Let's see what happens when we multiply each of these types by another matrix. So here I have a ordered list of numbers, 1 - 1, and I've written it vertically as a column vector. I'm gonna try to multiply it from the left by a 2x2 matrix, 2 columns, 2 rows. All right, so let's first look and see if this thing is defined. Well, we have a 2x2 matrix multiplying a matrix with 2 rows and a single column. So we have the match we need on the inner dimensions, and what's going to get kicked out by the product is going to be a 2x1 matrix. So you need this match on the inner dimensions for it to be defined, and then the result is going to be, well, sort of a collapsing of the outer dimensions. All right, and now so we got the right conditions for the matrix product to be fine. Now we can compute it. All right, so what's going on here? Let me go to the pad of paper. Here we're, let's take A equal to 1, 2, -1, 2. And in this instance, B is going to be a column vector, 1, -1. It's still a matrix. I'm writing these guys vertically. Now, the product AB should be a matrix with, well, it's going to be a 2x1 matrix. That means it's going to have essentially two components. In the first row, In first column, it's going to be the first row with the first factor dot product with the one and only column of the second factor, B. All right, so what is that? I'm computing it here. Here's the first row, 1, 2. I interpret it as an ordered list of numbers, and now I'm going to take its dot product with this ordered list of numbers. Now, it's written vertically here, but here I'm just treating it as an ordered list of numbers. And that gives you the 1, 1 entry, and AB, the entry in the second row, and the one and only column of the product is going to be, let's see, that's row 2 of the first factor, dot product with the first and only column of the second factor. All right, and so that's what I've got written on the right-hand side here. Here's the second row, -1, 2. Now I'm thinking of it as an ordered list of numbers for which I can take its dot product with another ordered list of numbers obtained from this column vector. All right, then we compute those dot products, right? 1 times 1 is here, plus 2 times -1. And then the second row is going to be this component times this component, the second component times the second component. And when we explicitly do the arithmetic here, we get -1, -3 as the result. And indeed, this product of a 2x2 matrix and a 2x1 matrix produces a matrix with 2 rows and a single column. All right, so that's when I interpret the ordered list 1, -1 as a column matrix. But I could also take that same list of numbers, 1, -1, and interpret it as a row matrix. Let's compute the product there. Oh, one thing I should point out that, so here I'm taking 1 and -1, thought of it simply as a ordered list of numbers. Maybe you can't see that. And it can either go to this vector, this column vector, or this row vector. We've looked at the product of this vector with that 2x2 matrix. Now I'm going to show you how to multiply this guy times the same matrix. But one thing that's going to happen here is the order of the factors is actually already prescribed by these dimensions. Let me go back to the original case. We do have, let's see, 1, 2.
Can you move the paper down a little bit, please?
Sure. We do have, this product is defined, 1, -1. So when I write this vector originally 1, -1 as an ordered list, and I write it as a column vector, this matrix is defined, and it kicks, and what it did is it kicked out the number -1, -3, is that correct? Yeah, so that was defined. But if I try to put 1, -1 on the opposite side of 1, 2, -1, 2, well, here we have a 2x1 matrix trying to multiply a 2x2 matrix, and we have this mismatch, right? Because the internal dimensions are not the same, I'm not going to be able to take dot products of rows of the first factor with columns of the second factor. And so this is undefined. Okay, so some products are going to be defined, some products are undefined. You have to look at the dimensions of the matrix to decide how to multiply things together. All right, so now let me turn to the second way. I can write this guy not only as a vertical vector, but also as a row vector. And so I'm going to write it as a row vector. That's going to force me to actually multiply this 2x2 matrix from the left by this row vector. Because otherwise, the product of the row vector times the matrix is not going to be defined. I need the same number of columns of the first factor. I need that to match the number of rows of the second factor in order for the product to be defined. All right, so I've done this correctly. And now I'm going to compute So I take the dot product of the first row of the second factor with the, the first column of the second factor with the first and only row of the first factor. That's this entry here. And then the second entry is going to correspond to taking the second column of the second factor and taking its dot product with that first row vector of the first factor. That's this entry. And when we compute, we get the the vector 2, 0, as is appropriate, because what we're now doing is taking a matrix with one row and two columns, multiplying the 2 by 2 matrix, and what it's kicking out is a 1 by 2 matrix, a matrix with a single row and two columns. That's exactly what pops out of this computation. So when we compare these two results, we could take this ordered list of numbers, 1 minus 1, and write it as a column matrix. And then I can take its product with this square matrix, this 2 by 2 matrix, and I get the result -1, 3. Or I can take that same ordered list, 1 minus 1, write it as a row vector or a row matrix, and I can compute its product with the same matrix. Because the dimensions have changed, I have to actually multiply from the left by this matrix. Now for that, this product in the second line to even be defined. But once it is defined by this arrangement, and upon computation, I get a row vector with entries 2 and 0. And so what you see is that there's not only two different ways of converting ordered list of numbers into a matrix, but in fact, when we start doing matrix multiplication, it's going to make a difference as to whether we interpret a vector as a column matrix or a row matrix. Now, what in fact happens is treating vectors, ordered lists of numbers, as column vectors or as row vectors, that's a matter of convention. Well, for the most part, it's a matter of convention. What we'll do in this course is we'll constantly think of that ordered list of numbers as most directly corresponding to these column vectors. We just adapt that convention. We could have also insisted on only using row vectors to represent ordered lists of numbers, but then we'd have to do everything over again because now the ordering has been changed. So what we do primarily in this course is regard ordered lists of numbers as column vectors, and we for the most part stick to that convention, and we only interpret ordered lists of numbers as row vectors only when special circumstances justify that. Okay. So at any rate, we have a choice of whether we interpret an ordered list of numbers, a row vector or a column vector. We'll tend to use the convention that vectors go to column vectors. And then I just want you to be aware that it does make a difference. All right, let me show you another property of matrix multiplication. Here I'm going to start with two by two matrices. Both these matrices have two rows and two columns. And their product is going to be defined. Why? If I have a 2 by 2 matrix and it multiplies another 2 by 2 matrix, we have the match we need. That means it's defined. And this defined, what's going to get kicked out is a 2 by 2. So what you do is you check the mat. What you do is you check, make sure that the inner dimensions match, and then the outer dimensions, they're going to tell you what the dimensions of the resulting product is going to be. It will be defined, and it's going to have these dimensions. All right, so let's do the explicit computation for this these cases. So here we have 2, 1, -1, 1. And it's going to multiply 1, -1, -1, 2. All right, so the rule is Let me write it out in large form. So this is the entry in the first row and first column. So this is the, let me just call it A, B, 1, 1. And then we'll have another entry, A, B, 1, 2. We'll have a third entry, A, B. Now it's living in the second row, first column. And this last entry is going to be A, B, lives in the second row, second column. All right, so this is the thing we're going to compute. And our rule is that these components we're about to compute are computed by taking the row corresponding to the first index of the first factor, and we take its dot product with the row, oh, actually the column corresponding to the second factor. So, oh, sorry, this should have been column J of the second factor. All right, so that's what we'll do here.
Can you move down your paper a little bit, please?
I'm sorry, is that better?
Thank you, yeah.
So let's look at, for example, A, B, 1, 1. Now, what's the first row of A? It's 2, 1. What's the first column of the second factor? Well, that's, I'm going to write it as an ordered list, so I'm no longer going to write it vertically. Minus 1, minus 1. Now I have two two-dimensional vectors for which I can take the dot product. 2 times 1 is 2, plus 1 times minus 1, which is minus 1. And so we're going to get 1. So what I can do is replace that in the 1, 1 slot, I can replace it with the value of this component. It'll be 1. And so you can do that. What you have to do is separately take each row of the first factor and separately take its dot product with each column of the second factor. And that will fill out this matrix. Let me compute one more. Let's do A, B. Now we'll look in the first row of the second column of the result. We're still using the first row of A, but now we're using the second column of the factor B. So that will be minus 1, 2. And that dot product is going to be 2 times minus 1 is negative 2. 1 times 2 is 2. Those two numbers sum to 0. And so that's why I got a 0 in this slot. All right, and then to get the minus 2, what you would do is you would take the second, it's in the 2, 1 slot of the product. And that's going to be obtained by taking the dot product of the second row of A with the first column of B, and that's going to produce minus 2. All right. Then both of these matrices are 2x2 matrices, and the opposite product, BA, is also defined because I have the same number of columns of the first factor as I have rows of the second factor. But now when I compute it, for example, 1 minus 1 dotted with 2 minus 1 is going to produce the number 3. And similarly, we use this formula to calculate the other entries of the matrix product. And lo and behold, the product of A times B is different. That result is different than the product of B times A. So both products are defined, but they yield different matrices. So that's an important property. It's actually part of what makes matrix multiplication useful, because it's more subtle than simply the multiplication of numbers. Now, with multiplication of numbers, 2 times 8 is equal to 16, but 8 times 2 is also equal to 16. When you multiply numbers, it doesn't make any difference the order of the factors. But with matrices, the order of factors is actually makes a big difference. This matrix is nothing like the second matrix. Okay. In fact, it's even worse. Not only are these different, sometimes one product is defined and another product is not defined. The product in the opposite order is not defined. So for example, if you have a n by m matrix, n rows, m columns for the matrix A, and you have an M by P matrix, well, then this product is going to be defined. You have the match of the inner dimensions, so that means it's defined, and then the outer dimensions are going to give you the result of the actual computation. It's going to be an N by P matrix when we compute A times B. However, if I try to compute the opposite product, and when I put the factors in the opposite order, now I'd be multiplying an M by P matrix times an N by N matrix. And that's generally going to be undefined, because the only one times this product is going to be defined is when the inner dimensions match. And that's not going to be that what happens usually when I reverse the order. It's only going to happen if the number of columns of B was actually equal to the number of rows of A. Okay, so what this means is that when we manipulate matrices and when we multiply them, we have to pay attention to their order. And this is going to come up subtly, and you know, as soon as we start using matrix multiplication, because suppose we had two matrices, A is equal, put two matrices on both sides, and I want to multiply this equation by another matrix, so I multiply it by B. Well, if you do this, say that because A is equal to C, it necessarily follows that when I multiply both sides by B, I should get the same result. Well, this is not true. The reason why it's not true in general is because I multiplied A from the left by B, but I'm multiplying the other side of the equation from the right by B, and these, even if A is equal to C, these products would not be the same, because one, on one side I'm multiplying from the left, on the other side I'm multiplying from the right. So the warning I want to give you is that when you start manipulating equations, you have to make sure you're doing exactly the same thing to both sides of the equation. Otherwise, you're going to introduce an error in your calculation. If this equation is true and you want to maintain it after performing an operation on both sides of the equation, you have to do exactly the same thing to both sides of the equations. All right. And multiplying from the left is not the same thing as multiplying from the left is not the same thing as multiplying from the right. Okay. So let me show you how could our undefined example be correct? Well, the point is that if a product is undefined, well, the correct statement is that it's undefined. It's like taking 3 and trying to divide it by 0. It doesn't equal anything legitimate mathematically. And so you just say that 3 divided by 0 is undefined. That's in the same sense, that's a product of two matrices in which the column dimension of the first matrix is not equal to the row dimension of the second matrix. That is going to be undefined. We just don't have a definition for that product. But when the matrix multiplication is defined, it turns out to be really useful. So we're not going to worry too much about the undefined cases. The cases where matrix multiplication is useful is exactly the cases when the multiplication is defined. All right, so here I want to point out in this slide that if I take two real numbers and I multiply them together and I get 0, well, I know then that either x has to equal 0 or the second factor y has to equal 0. Otherwise, it's not possible to take two non-zero numbers, multiply them together, and get 0. But look at these matrices. They're both 2x2 matrices, and their product is defined. But they're not the zero matrix, yet their product is the zero matrix. And here, what I mean by the zero matrix, you know, similar to what I meant by the zero vector, it's the matrix for which each entry is equal to 0. And so here we can have two non-zero matrices multiplied together, producing a well-defined product, but it happens to equal the zero matrix, which is unlike what would happen if we regarded these matrices as numbers. All right, so.
So if we get a zero matrix, is that like an empty set, or do we just like input it as all those zeros?
No, it is a matrix. It's an ordered list of, it's an arrangement of numbers into a rectangular arrangement. So it is a matrix, and it's not empty. It's something. It is a legitimate two. This 0, 0, 0, 0 matrix is a legitimate 2x2 matrix. I'm just saying that if I take this matrix and this matrix, I get this matrix. What's bizarre is that if these were numbers, the only way I could get the number zero is by taking one of the factors equal to zero. But here I'm saying that I can get the zero matrix by multiplying together two non-zero matrices. That's strange, or at least it makes matrix multiplication different than multiplication of numbers. And the reason for pointing this out is that notationally, we're going to learn that, well, we'll write matrix multiplication exactly like the way we multiply numbers together. We'll write something adjacent to another. But what I'm trying to point out is that these products behave different than the products of numbers. Okay, so that's the point I'm making, is that because our notation is similar, I want to stress how things are different when we have multiply matrices together as compared to when we multiply numbers together. All right, now, there are some things that are similar to multiplying numbers. If I have a number 8 and I multiply it by the number 1, I always get the number 8 back. We call 1, so it's the multiplicative identity. Well, when you take an abstract algebra course, if you have something that you multiply another thing in it, but it always reproduces what you started off with, we call that an identity operation. And multiplication by 1 is an identity operation on the set of real numbers. Well, there's an identity operation also on matrices. Here, let me show you an example of it. If I take this matrix, it's going to be a 3x3 matrix, where the only non-zero entries are along this diagonal from the upper left to the lower right. Now I'm going to take an arbitrary 3x3 matrix. So I'm not even going to specify particular numbers in these 9 slots of this 3x3 matrix. Writing these guys adjacent to one another, you see we have a 3x3 multiplying a 3x3. That it's going to lead to a well-defined matrix product because we have the same number of columns of the first factor as we have rows of the second factor. But when we compute it, well, let's compute that first 1, 1 entry. It would be the dot product of 1, 0, 0 with a column A11, A21, A31. And so we'll have 1 times A11, 0 times A12, plus 0 times A31. Well, that'll be A11 plus 0 plus 0. And so it's just going to replicate that first slot. By the way, let me point out in this example how to do these matrix multiplications for the most part in your head. Here we have 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1. How can you, and we're going to multiply A11, A12, A13, A21, A22, A23, A31, A32, A33. Let me show you how you do this real fast. All right, so just with your fingertips, I'll move across the first row, and then with the second finger, I'll move down the first column. So I'll have 1 times A1 plus 0. Because 0 times anything is going to equal 0 plus 0. So this is going to be 1 plus 0 plus 0. I can just see it visually. 1 plus 0 plus 0. In the second slot, in this first row, second column, I'll take the dot product of this first row with the second column. Let's just do it in place. I'll have 1 times A12 plus 0 plus 0. So look where my fingers are and then multiply them together. That'll be, this product will be A12. The second term will be 0. And the third term is going to be 0. And so now I've done the first two entries of the first row of this product. But you should be able to do this fairly quickly. You just read across and compute these products and then add them to subsequent ones. All right, and then similarly, I can also, since these are both 3x3 matrices, I can do this multiplication. You know, it's well-defined in either order. And in fact, in this instance, the order doesn't seem to make any difference. This matrix times this generic matrix produces the generic matrix again, even when I do the multiplication in the opposite order. So for this particular matrix that I'll call I, anytime I multiply a 3x3 matrix by it, whether I multiply from the right or from the left, I just get back the matrix I started off with. And so effectively, this matrix behaves like the number 1 with respect to matrix multiplication. That's why we call it the identity matrix. And it generalizes to larger square matrices, larger matrices where I have an equal number of rows and columns. You create it by an identity matrix by simply putting ones along this diagonal from the upper left to the lower right and zeros everywhere else. And then that matrix is going to have the property that whether I multiply another matrix by it, it's always going to kick back. That's the matrix A. So A times I is going to equal A whenever this product is defined. So no matter how many rows or columns A has, as long as this product is defined, it's going to kick back A. And similarly, when I multiply from the left by this identity matrix, so long as the product is defined, it's just going to kick back the second factor. Okay, so that's how we multiply matrices together. Now, we'll have lots of opportunities to do practice in this. And in fact, let me remind you that homework assignment 1 on WebAssign is due at midnight tonight. And what I'll do after class is I'm going to assign WebAssign problem set 2, and it's actually it will be due a week from today, and it will deal with this matrix multiplication and some additional matrix operations that I'm about to cover. Okay, so up to this point in today's lecture, I've been talking about multiplying one matrix times another matrix. Now I want to tell you about some other things we can do to matrices. We can, for example, we can add them. And this addition of matrices, it's going to look very much like the way we add vectors. I'll show you in the manner in which that's true. When you add vectors, you add like components to like components. The first component is added to the first component to get the first component of the sum. Well, we can add matrices by a similar rule, only instead of components, where I'm just thinking of an ordered list, I'll refer to the numbers that appear in the matrix, I'll refer to them as entries. And so here, what happens if you can sum two matrices, so long as they're matrices of the same size, same number of rows, same number of columns, then I can add them together by simply the ijth component, the element and the ith row and jth column of the sum is going to equal the sum of the corresponding components in the individual matrices. So here's an explicit example. Let's say 2, 1, 1, minus 1, plus 1, 0, 0, 2. That's going to be exactly the matrix 2 plus 1 is 3. 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 0 is 1, and minus 1 plus 2 is 1. Okay, so You just got to do, it's sort of like adding vectors, except now you have to track all the entries in the matrix and put their sums in the same slot. All right, so that's matrix addition. And for vectors, we had a notion of scalar multiplication. We also have scalar multiplication of matrices. It's essentially a similar rule. The scalar multiple of an n by n matrix by a number lambda is going to be the n by n matrix for which the entries of A have effectively been all multiplied by the same number lambda. So explicitly, if I want to know what 2 times 1, 0, minus 1, 3 is, it's going to be exactly the matrix 2. 2 times 0 is 0, 2 times minus 1 is negative 2, 2 times 3 is 6. So we have matrix multiplication scalar multiplication in addition to matrix multiplication. And later on, when we start to consider more general vector spaces, we'll be able to view matrices as a kind of vector. The reason why we can consider matrices as vectors is because now we're thinking of a more general definition of what a vector is. Now, instead of thinking of a vector as an ordered list of numbers, that's going to generalize to sets for which we have legitimate operations of vector addition and scalar multiplication. This is going to be vector addition when I interpret matrices as an abstract vector, and this is going to be scalar multiplication when I interpret a matrix as an abstract vector, not as ordered list of numbers, but as something that behaves like ordered list of numbers. Okay, so for right now, this is going to be confusing as to why I would want to think of a matrix as a vector. That's only going to become later in the course, when we even think of sets of functions as vectors, we think of oscillations as vectors, or we think of states of the hydrogen atom as being vectors. That's when we think of more abstract objects as behaving like vectors. But here, at this stage of the game, I just want to point out that you can add matrices together and you can scale and multiply them. Those are two legitimate operations that we can perform on matrices that are distinct from the matrix multiplication we have been talking about previously in this lecture. Okay, so here are some simple examples of matrix addition. Just like I described before, you add them entry by entry to get the result of addition. And when you do scalar multiplication, you multiply each entry of a matrix by the same number. All right, there's another thing we can do to matrices. If you have an n by m matrix, you can convert it to an m by n matrix. What you do is you take rows and you convert them to columns.
The page.
Sorry, yeah, better. What we'll do is we'll convert rows in the columns. Well, let me give you an example. 2, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. All right, so this matrix has two rows and three columns. What I'm going to do is I'm going to convert it. I'm going to take this row, and I'm going to write it, the numbers in the same order, but instead of writing them horizontally, I'll write them vertically. And similarly, that second row, if I convert it to a column, I'll get this. And so what's happened? I've converted a 2 by 3 matrix to a 3 by 2 matrix. This operation that we can perform on any matrix is called a transpose operation. So here it is defined. Here's another way of defining it. The transpose of a matrix A is the matrix you get by effectively switching rows and columns, but here I've written it in terms of individual entries. And here what you see, whenever I write down a matrix, the first index always corresponds to a row index, and the second index corresponds to a column index. So for this transpose matrix, the entry in the ij slot is to be the entry, so the entry in the ith row and jth column of the transpose is going to be the entry in the jth row and ith column of the original matrix. So what happened here? This entry in this, here's the transpose. This entry in the second row of the first column of the transpose is equal to the entry in the second column of the first row of the original matrix. So rows and columns, that interpretation gets reversed when we take the transpose. So here's an explicit example. Here's a matrix. It's now a 3 by 2 matrix. And when I take its transpose, it gets converted into a 2 by 3 matrix. Here's one thing that transpose operation is good for. If you start with a matrix with n rows and n columns, well, then its square is not necessarily defined, right? Because, let me do a separate page here. If I have an n by m matrix and I try to multiply itself, which is still an n by m matrix, I get a mismatch. So this product is not going to be defined. So if this is A and this is A squared is undefined, uncomputable. So you can't always square matrices. However, it turns out that there's still an analog of taking the square of the matrix. It's just that I have to multiply it by its transpose. And in this case, A times A transpose, this would be something like an N by M matrix. Now, when I take the transpose, I get a matrix where the row and column dimensions have been reversed. Now, this is defined because we have the match we need. And what's going to get kicked out is going to be an n by n matrix. But we can also do it from the opposite side as well. We can take the transpose and multiply the original matrix by it. Now, in this case, we're taking an m by n matrix. That's the dimensions of the transpose. And we're multiplying an n by m matrix. This is still defined. But for this product, we're going to get, as a result, an m by m matrix. So we can't, in general, take the square of the matrix, but with the transpose operation, we have two analogs of taking the square. We either multiply from the right by the transpose, or we multiply by the left of the transpose. Unfortunately, we get different results, but we have two different products that we can associate with playing essentially the analog of the square of a number. I can't always multiply A by itself. I can always multiply A by its transpose. All right, and then in a particular case is when you start off with a column vector. And then that means that the product of a column vector, now this is going to be a matrix. So I can, the dot product, a column vector times a column vector is generally going to be undefined, right? If I have a matrix with n rows in a single column and I try to multiply it by itself, well, we have a mismatch. So that's, in general, undefined. I can't multiply column vectors times column vectors. However, if I take the transpose of an n by 1 matrix, that becomes a 1 by n matrix. And that, so after I take the transpose, I reverse the dimensions, and now I do get a product that's defined. And in fact, what that is, it's the usual dot product of this column vector when you think of it as an ordered list of numbers. You see? when I take this transpose of this column vector and I multiply B from the left by its transpose, this is the matrix product, and that's going to be exactly equal to the dot product of B thought of as an order list of numbers with itself. So in fact, our dot product of vectors in matrix language actually corresponds to interpreting the vector as a column vector and then calculating its dot product with itself by first converting or forming the left-hand factor as the transpose of the original column vector B. Oops, I'm sorry, and I've run 3 minutes over. So I'll stop here. If you have questions, I'll hang around a little bit, but other than that, class is dismissed. But remember, on Monday, we are gonna meet in the North Classroom Building at 9:30, okay? So I will see you there.
Does the A vector, A matrix equal the A transpose matrix or no?
No. The point of the transpose operation is it changes the matrix. Takes a matrix with N rows and N columns and it sort of converts it to another matrix with different dimensions, sort of the opposite dimensions. But it's easy to do the operation. That's right, A, B, C, D. Well, when I take its transpose, the rule is that you take a row and you rewrite it as a column. You take the second row and you rewrite it as a column. So this matrix has changed. And so it's just an operation that we can perform. Now, what it's good for, that's coming later. I just want to make you aware of things we can do to matrices at this point. Oh, there's another question that says, will lectures generally be recorded when we meet in person? Yes and no. I want to get away from recorded lectures because I don't want people thinking they can avoid lecture. It's very important to come to lecture and participate in the class. So I'm going to, I think next week I probably am going to record because anytime you feel ill, I don't want you coming to class. In fact, you should not be coming to class if you feel the onslaught or something. That's just going to shut us down for 2 weeks. But so long as the COVID situation is under control, the intent is to actually go back to normalcy in some form. And so I want to get away from recorded lectures because what happened during the pandemic is, first of all, people stopped attending the lectures as they occur. And once they realize they can get away with that, they postpone even looking at the lectures until right before an exam. And that's just a disaster for the success rate in this course. So I'm going to try to force you guys to come to lecture so that we can actually get some learning done in class. That will save you time in prepping for exam and doing homework problems. So next week, yes, I will record the lectures and make them available. But I'm going to be more restrictive as soon as the closer we return to normalcy. Okay?